Hey, welcome back to Dan's Miscellaneous Ramblings, episode 28. Yeah, we've made it this far. Today, I'm going to be having another very special guest on with us. And you can probably guess who the guest is going to be, because it's the same guest I have on, like, 70% of the time. I don't know the numbers. Entertain them while I run the numbers.
Alrighty then, what is up, gamers? Do you want to hear a fun fact about Cheetos? It turns out that they were originally the byproducts of a machine that made cow food.
Wow!
That's a sad fact. Yep. I don't know where I learned that one from. That's a lie, but a magician never reveals his secrets, you know?
All right, manage. Okay, I've actually hit the buttons. All right, I don't care enough, really, to do the math. I'm going to be honest. But
you know, I feel that.
Looking at the episode list, it looks like featuring Leland Jones, five. Out of the total number of ones that I've had with someone on it are five plus six. Then we've got seven. Eight. We've had nine. We've had nine total episodes, and you've been on five of them. So you're counting this episode, you're 60% of all of the shared episodes.
You know, what can I say? The people Except assumedly love welcome. Me. That is true. I could also say that.
Of course the people love you. If they didn't love you, why would the comedy button be playing?
That is a good point, actually. You know, I had my doubts, never again.
Now, score, we've managed to actually waste the first 2 minutes without actually bringing up the topic at all.
You know, that's just how it is sometimes. What are we talking about?
We are talking about chess today.
Whoa, I play that game.
Wow. Now, I know that some people are not as enamored with the game of chess, so why don't we help use our amazing minds to help explain what the game of chess is to those who are uninformed?
Yeah, do you just want to, like, do this tag team style where, like, you say something, I'll go in with my...
All right, that sounds good. This looks good. Yes. Chess is an intense multiplayer game, playable with up to two players, unless you do something weird with the rules, and probably... also a minimum of two players, unless you're fighting a computer or something. And there are two sides, generally, white and black. It's not racially based, we promise.
Even though white goes first every time, despite the lack of racial bias in there, I swear to God. And no, we can't change them to neutral colors. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the most neutral colors. I guess orange and blue...
Orange and blue. I mean, orange and blue are across from each other on the color wheel.
And orange goes last, obviously.
Okay, I feel like blue is a going second sort of color. I'm going to be honest here.
Oh, I'm just making digs at a certain political figure.
Oh, okay. I mean, I like the color orange, it. So that was my source of confusion.
You know what? That's honestly fair. Anyway... You play with a variety of figures in this world, including literal rooks, as in just towers of a fortress that can move across the entire battlefield for some reason, and your wife, who is stronger than said towers.
This is
also
true.
Also for some unknown reason.
Well, actually, no, that reason is completely known. Because, kids, if you end up having a wife when you're older, know that she is... probably going to be much stronger than you, because I mean, who wouldn't want some sort of awesome buff wife, probably carrying a sword or something? Like, that just sounds amazing.
I'm more of like the axe wife or even flail wife kind of brand, but yeah, no, I honestly relate. Listen, if I have to be the strong one, it's over.
I mean, you're decently strong as it stands. But what do you think your chess movement pattern would be?
My chess movement pattern? Okay. I think it would probably be I move up two squares, or, you know, and obviously you could rotate this in any direction, it won't matter. over three, and then up one into the clouds, or down one into the ground. I would literally add a whole new dimension to chess.
Oh boy, if only adding a new dimension to chess was a new idea.
Yeah, alas, it is actually not.
Because, hi, I'm Dan, and I'm here to introduce you to fifth dimensional chess with multiverse time travel.
Yep. For anyone who doesn't know how like the rest of actual chess works, just look it up, man.
Yeah, we forgot the knights. Well, they're and the pawns. The pawns are kind of like the most important. Well, not most important, but like
yeah,
they're.
I mean, they. Yeah,
they're they almost are always the first move.
Yeah, unless you're a loser who plays like the sodium attack. Which why would you do that? God.
Well, only play that one if you're salty. wait, hold on. I have a comedy button.
Now that's comedy.
All right.
Yeah. So,
fifth dimensional chess with multiverse time travel. Have you ever tried to play chess and been like, wow, that's pretty confusing? I mean, I haven't. I mean, maybe when I was like really little or something, but.
The last time I've been confused by chess was when I learned how to castle. That was when I was like eight.
The last time I was confused by chess was when I watched Sammy play it.
Well. You know, I don't know if that's confusing on chess or about the people playing. It's a very fine line. You know what? I'm going to oust her. She's not very good.
This is true.
The game of chess.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we've offered to try and help her get better. She's improving.
She doesn't move all of her pawns forwards one square anymore. She now does it two.
Hey, improvement.
Improvement.
So,
she took one of my pieces a couple times.
Oh, wow. I'm very proud. Very proud.
It was a losing trade, but
Know what? Progress. Yeah, baby steps. Now, Leland Jones III. We've talked briefly about this fifth dimensional chess thing. Do you mind explaining what that is a little bit more?
Yeah, so it operates like normal chess, except there are a couple other things you can do. Specifically, at any given point, you can move your pieces into the past into the past or into different realities caused by you moving your pieces into the past, thus creating a new multiverse.
But Leland, my boy, how do I move a piece into the past? That doesn't make sense.
You know. You're right, but you can do it anyway. You get to move across the boards of each move concurrently. Like, the way the game runs is there is a timeline of each move, and essentially you could treat each... Like, if I'm using a rook, I can move backwards or forwards in time as much as I like across a horizontal line in the timeline. Similarly, if there are a ton of parallel universes which go in different timelines as a... I don't really know if there's that much of a good comparison to it. I guess, like... If anyone knows about the multiverse, multiple worlds theory or something like that, it operates very similarly to that.
Basically, when you move a piece back in the past, it creates an alternate reality where if that piece were there. And as you move them up, they move you and they move. Well, that was intelligent.
I literally call it the multiverse world theory for no reason.
Yeah. But the turn order of the pieces still stays. So if you're on turn six and you move something back to turn two, then that piece, then you still have to go through turn two, turn three, turn four, turn five. And if you have, say, a rook, rooks can move in a straight line in any direction, which includes into the past and into other dimensions or other realities. So if you have your rook on turn five, you can move it to turn five of a different board as long as it stays on the same physical space.
Or it can move it to turn one, as long as there's nothing occupying the physical space.
Like an opponent's piece. You can take an opponent's piece with it.
That is also true, yeah. It gets kind of dumb when you get to pieces like bishops and knights with the way they can move. And you can kind of, there is a strategy where you can just keep on sending a piece into the past, and then you can have a board with like 15 queens if you really want to.
Yeah, the number of queens you can have is only limited, really, by the number of spaces on the board.
That is true, which is a whole 64.
Unlike, I mean, actually, it'd be like they'd need space for their king. Actually, no, because you can move your king out of there. So, never mind. 64, yeah, you're right. oh, man. That game is, I think last time we played it, Did I win more last time we played it than technically?
We played it twice.
Oh, that's true.
Last time we played it, I destroyed you.
Oh, that is true.
Beforehand, you were doing very well.
And there's a lot of almost you can use strategy, but because there's so much to keep track of, more often than not, you just sort of get lucky with where you put a piece. Like you accidentally put a piece, and then you see, oh wow, I accidentally put you into checkmate 3 turns ago.
3 turns ago in Reality 5, specifically.
Leland and I were playing one game, and this was in the set where I was doing quite well. And he managed to checkmate me 6 separate times with the same move, 3 times in the past, twice in the present, and once in the future across 3 separate timelines. Does that sound confusing to you? It should. It was confusing.
Yeah, you can. I feel like the game is comprehensible up until you get to the point where there are 3 timelines. After that, it becomes just a completely garbled mess. Even then, it's fairly comprehensible. 5D chess does give people who are less good at like actual chess a very heavy advantage.
This is true.
When you play, because you can very easily just stumble to checkmate. So, like I remember, I was playing one of the computers a while ago, and I checkmated it in, I think, 4 moves. On accident, which is feasible in actual chess, but this was like a good computer, and I don't even know how it made sense because I just didn't care.
Yeah, sometimes I'll just look and I'll be like, okay, apparently I can make a move here to get out of this check, and it takes me a solid 6 minutes to find wherever that move is, and it turns out the move is moving a piece, one singular piece across 3 timelines. And 6 moves back, and I'm just like, why? Why would you do this to me?
Yeah, fifth dimensional chess is not for the light of heart, nor is it for people who actually want to pursue any form of chess. Like, if you somehow manage to get good at fifth dimensional chess to the point where you can understand it and play around it, I
fear you.
That's insane.
I would be genuinely terrified of you as a human.
Yeah, you would have. I don't even think that like supercomputers can properly handle it, because even at the highest difficulty that is offered on the game, the computers still play poorly. They're just able to at least play at all.
Yeah, because there's so much for the computers to process, because they have to process every possible move of every reality and try and see into the future when the future could easily be influenced by the past of different reality. It doesn't make any sense as long, when you get big enough, which is not that big, really.
The strategy against computers is you either just beat them in an actual honest-to-God game of chess, which you can do, or you make so many realities that they just blunder horribly.
Yeah.
You can even just put a timer on and just watch the computer struggle.
Now, this game is not for the faint of heart, but it might be for the faint of wallet, because it's only like $12 on Steam or something like that.
Oh, yeah, it's very cheap. Provided, I think Chess the Original is free, so I guess the extra 2 dimensions, because don't be fooled, it says fifth dimensional, but it isn't fifth dimensional, it's like fourth dimensional. It just skipped one of the planar dimensions to go for multiverse, I guess.
Yeah, okay, well, let's be honest, fifth dimension, actually, no, well, okay, yeah, because technically, well, they can say fifth dimensional because the third dimension, up and down, still exists. You don't use it, but it still exists, so they have to account for that. So adding, moving into the past and moving into different timelines is 2 different dimensions in their mind, so I can see why they would use fifth dimensional and not fourth dimensional.
Yeah, I understand that. However, what if they just, like, 3D chess is a thing. They could have just programmed that and been...
Oh, God. Can you imagine 3D chess as 4D chess? Oh, wait, hold on. We're, like, 30 seconds away. We got to talk about the song. Okay, oh, geez. Do you have a song that you've had on your mind all episode?
That is a grand question. And actually, yes, I have. All right, the song that has been on my mind.
Are you Googling songs right now?
No, I would never do that, okay? The song that's been on my mind is Smells Like Teen Spirit from 1991 from the band Nirvana. I, you know, classic song. Listen to it every day.
Have you ever heard that song in your life?
Yeah, at least twice. I guarantee it.
I'm gonna throw in my pick. It's the YouTube video "When a Rapper Plays Chess" by Darius Benson. It's just incredible.
That's a much better thing. Yeah, I agree. High class video.
All right, we do have to actually end this though. Oh my god, no! Put the ukulele away. Stop it! Stop it, Leland Jones. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna say goodbye. I'm gonna end this here. Everyone, goodbye. Later.